Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality? Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian? What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and once again, I'd like for you to join with me as we face the issues. May I ask a question or two of my listening audience? Are the issues that you're faced with, are they theological, doctrinal, biblical, spiritual? Are they what some would refer to as political, social? What are the issues of life? Each of us, it makes no difference our strata in life, our background, our ethnicity, professionalism, or otherwise, we all face issues. This is the reason God has given us His Word, the Bible, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of Holy God. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself said, "If you continue in My Word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:31-32. And then Jesus declared in John 17:17, "Thy Word is truth." So when we face issues, I invite you to do so from a biblical worldview, looking at it from what does the Word of God say. And may I introduce to you the term, the biblical worldview, in the event you've not heard that or not familiar with the definition. A biblical worldview simply means that whatever we deal with, we look at it through the prism of the Word of God. What does the Bible say? What does God say? Does God refer to that in His Word? How do we relate to the Word of God? You see, there's a vast difference in trying to find answers for issues by going to a psychologist, a psychiatrist, or to a counselor of some type. Nothing wrong with good Christian counselors, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. But I believe God will have us first come to Him through His Word. He's given us 66 books combined. We call it the Bible. And throughout the Scripture, we have God revealing Himself to us in a continual progressive fashion as we read through the Scripture. So may I challenge you as we think about facing the issues. There are multitudes of issues on a global basis. We face issues in our nation. We're faced with some issues in our city. We're faced with issues that concern the last days in this old world. We'll talk about that some more in a moment. But may I remind you that this is a listener participation program. If you're out there listening, and as you hear these words, you hear our communication and comments, and you'd like to join in the discussion, the dialogue, you can do so. You may not be discussing the same issues that I'm discussing today, but whatever issue you want to jump in the conversation and have dialogue and discussion, we invite you to do so. You can call us at 904-401-1413. That's 904-401-1413 to join in the discussion today. We're going to be looking at several other issues regarding the last days, especially as is found in the Revelation text. Before we do that, let me do two announcements, two invitations. One is your invitation to worship with us at First Conservative Baptist Church. If you've not worshiped with us, may I invite you to do so. We'd love to have you as our very special guest. Our worship service is on Sunday morning at 10:45, and it's 7 p.m. on Sunday evening. Sunday morning before the regular morning worship hour, we have the Sunday school hour, the Bible study time, where individual cell groups meet and teachers teach and have dialogue and discussion on a small group basis so that you can participate. Ask questions about the Word of God. Join in the discussion. Learn what the Scripture says and what God will have us to know. And then on Wednesday evening, we're talking about an invitation to First Conservative Baptist Church. And it is conservative. We're not talking about anything that would be considered legalism. We're talking about conservatism. Conservatism simply means that we believe the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We believe the Genesis flood. We believe that the flood found in Genesis is an account of a universal flood. We believe that God created the heavens and the earth and all that's therein in a six-day period of time and rested on the seventh day. We believe that the next thing on the calendar of God is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to snatch His bride, the church, the group of believers on a global basis through what is called the rapture of the church out of this old world. And then the 7 years of ruin that the Bible refers to as tribulation. So that's what we believe from the standpoint of First Conservative Baptist Church. I've told people for the past 30-plus years, you can take the sign where it says First Conservative Baptist and Church. You can remove everything, just say church, because that's where we are. It's not a matter of what a denomination says, thinks, feels, or does. It's not opinion. It's not rites, rituals, rules, and regulations. It's simply proclaiming the truth of the Word of God in an exegetical, expository fashion, verse by verse and chapter by chapter, book by book, as we study through the Word of God. It's my delight to introduce to you, if you have not been told about it, my publication that I had the privilege of publishing a few years back. It's called The Panorama of Prophecy. The Panorama of Prophecy covers everything from the rapture of the church to the return of Christ and the rule of Christ in the thousand-year reign and then throughout all of eternity. It is a good tool book for any Bible study teacher, any deacon, Sunday school teacher, pastor, associate pastor, evangelist, someone in Christian counseling. It's a good tool book. It's well outlined and developed so that it goes back to the Scripture. It's not filled with opinion. It's simply a book that's developed and designed to be a tool book for Christian students, Bible students that want to know the Word of God better, more intimately, and broader and deeper. Therefore, may I recommend it to you. It's called The Panorama of Prophecy. It can be found on our website, conservative.edu, conservative.edu. Scroll down to the bookstore, click on, and go to the bookstore. Select your choice. We've got about 6,000 titles and about 130,000 volumes in our campus bookstore. The campus bookstore, by the way, is open to the general public 9 till 5 each day, with the exception of Wednesday. And I'd love to have you come in, shop around, and select the books that would be beneficial to you and a blessing to you in the study of the Word of God. May I remind you, you can join in the discussion today at 904-401-1413. Let me say, too, before we get too far into the broadcast, that we want our prayers and concerns and compassion to go out to the family of Phyllis Schlafly. Phyllis Schlafly. Perhaps you've heard that name. She had an organizational ministry called Eagle Forum. She was the biographer for President Reagan. She had just published a new book about why Obama, why that is Trump, is the one we need to vote for in this election. And it came out the day after her death. And so may I invite you to Google her name. Look at some of the things that she was credited with. She was the conservative voice, one of the conservative voices in America, a super fine lady, very conservative. And one of the headlines says, Reagan's biographer, Schlafly, smarter and tougher than liberals. May I remind us, she was a star walk of the faith. She took a stand for conservative issues and went on to be with the Lord at the age of 92 years of age. So pray for her family. Our condolences and sympathies go out to the entire family. Let me make a little transition in thought and go back to our subject that we've looked at for several days, dealing with the panorama of prophecy. May I remind us, if you're not aware of it, if you've not noticed it, our world's in chaos. Our world's in confusion and conflict. We have left God. we've denied his word. I'm not talking about just in America. I'm talking about on a global basis. It's happening more in America now than we have anticipated. A lot of folks are not even cognizant of or aware of the fact that we're literally becoming a secularistic, humanistic nation. We've left God. We've denied the word of God. We've rejected God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have banned prayer. We've banned the Bible. We have criminalized Christians for standing for truth. Did you know that? We've criminalized Christians for standing for their truth, standing for the Word of God, standing for what their conscience says that we ought to do. Bakers and those that are running and operating bed and breakfast inns, those that have been involved in pizza and other forms of commerce and business have been criminalized and prosecuted because of their stand facing the enemy, their stand against the sodomite lifestyle and marriages, and their stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been criminalized. We've criminalized Christians for standing for biblical theological truth. Our religious liberties and freedoms are now under assault all across America, straight from the White House down and across our nation, state after state after state. In fact, Governor Wolf in North Carolina urges legislative action on the open bathroom bill. They have a Senate bill now that's in the different stages of process for approval. When North Carolina did, he said what North Carolina did is wrong, and equally as troubling is the Pennsylvania General Assembly inaction on passing non-discrimination legislation in the Commonwealth to ensure that all people, regardless of sexual orientation, gender expression, and identity, are treated equally under Pennsylvania law. This is coming out of North Carolina. The governor's warning, I'm coming out of Pennsylvania. The governor there is warning a bill passed that will allow the sodomites, the transvestites, the transsexuals, the perverts, to go into the girls' bathroom, the ladies' bathroom, shower rooms, locker rooms, et cetera, very much like we've seen trying to be imposed on moral ethical citizens on a national basis. And even here in Duval County, by the way, we'll be talking about some of that during the course of this week's broadcast and the irony of what is taking place on a national level and then what we're attempting to do on a local level. But I'm pointing out these things to point out to us that we are living in the last of the last days. We're living in that day of chaos and confusion and conflict and growing darker and darker as the shadow falls and as the sun goes down on life, not only in America, but around the globe. May I remind us, churches are closing across America. So-called Christians are becoming apostates. Today, church attendance has dropped dramatically, according to the Barna Report. Across mainline denominations, some 58%. We're talking about mainline denominations, some 58% disbelieve in the reality of hell. Some 32% disbelieve in the real personage of the one that's called Satan, the devil, in the scripture. So may I remind us, all of these things are indicators. All of these things are pointers pointing out for us that we're living in the last of the last days. God's word speaks about that. God's word warns us of that. In the scripture, we understand and recognize that in Matthew 24, for example, verse 4 and following, and Jesus answered, his disciples had asked him a question, tell us when these things will be, and what will be the signs of the coming of the Son of Man and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilences, that means diseases, and earthquakes in diverse places. And all these things are just the beginnings of sorrows. So we're seeing these things taking place on a large-scale basis. We're seeing the truth of what's said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speak expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. It's talking about the Christian faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And then in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 and following, the scripture is very, very clear It warns us there, but know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. The word perilous there means difficult, dangerous, desperate, deadly days shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heavy, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I read those scripture verses to us for us to get the setting, to understand the rationale of where we're going in relationship to the looking at the panorama of prophecy. In Revelation, the sixth chapter, it outlines the first six of the seven seals. May I remind you now, our call-in number, if you want to call in and join in the discussion, I ask your questions, 401-1413, 401-1413. In the book of the Revelation, you will find 21 judgments. Those judgments are progressive. Those judgments are cumulative. Those judgments are increasing when you see the chronology of the unfurling, the unfolding of what shall take place when the Antichrist steps on the scene. Now, when will the Antichrist step on the scene? When will the Antichrist come and be identified and be a global ruler, a global leader? That shall be after the rapture of the church. You see, the rapture of the church, when the church, when we, when you and I, as believers, are snatched out of this old world by the rapture. It's the Latin term rapturus, means the sudden seizure, the snatching out. When, and by the way, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, is the classic text in all of the Bible dealing with the rapture. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, is the time frame in the chronology of the last days of when the rapture shall take place. And following the rapture of the church, the snatching out of the bride of Christ, the man of sin, the Antichrist, will step on the scene. The Antichrist with the false prophet, with the empowerment of Satan himself. It is what I call the unholy trinity. Just as we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we have the unholy trinity. Just as the holy trinity, we have the unholy trinity. We have Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And that trilogy will be operative in the world after the church has been raptured out. And the things that you see in Revelation line up with 21 judgments. You have the first seven under the seven seals. The first six seals are opened in chapter 6. Chapter 7 is a parenthetical inset. It is an interlude. And then you see in chapter 8, verse 1, the seventh seal is open. And at the opening of the seventh seal, it enters then the seven trumpets. At the blowing of the seventh trumpet, opens the seven bowls of the wrath of God. Each of these broadening God's wrath on a world that said no to Jesus Christ. But I want to pick up our subject in our study from last time, looking at the broken seals. We looked at the Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, the first seal horse coming out, and it's the horse of deception. We looked at the second seal horse in verses 3 and 4 of Revelation 6, was the horse of destruction. We looked at the third seal horse, was the horse of dearth, in verses 5 and 6. I want to pick up there with the fourth seal horse, and it's the indication of death. When the horse, the fourth seal horse, when the fourth seal is open and the fourth horseman comes forth, the scripture says in verse 7 and 8, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death and Hell, that is, the grave and Hades, followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. May I remind us, the pale horse that rides out of the scene that you see in the setting when history is coming to an end, when the world is coming and the globe is coming to a close, that pale horse that rides out has the name of Death and the Grave, and has power, that means the literal authority, to kill with the sword, to kill with hunger, to kill with starvation, along with the beast of the earth. Death will be universally prevalent in that day throughout all of the society. Several months ago, you might recall, in Iraq, they were accustomed to having so many deaths each day, but rather than the cessation of the bombing, they just continued to bomb, and the rampage of the terrorism and the death completely devastated many parts of Iraq, and that's taking place today in the Middle East, especially in Iraq and Syria, and some places in Afghanistan, some places in Turkey. Many of those that were doing the work of grave digging in that part of the world were burying the bodies, and literally some were in that setting. And I'm going back to some recent history with Iraq. They were crying, "We don't have jobs," but yet they were put to work digging graves. May I remind us, when the Antichrist steps on the scene and he takes total control of the world, by the way, when you study the Revelation text, you'll find when he comes on the scene and takes control, you'll find that also in Daniel 7, Daniel 8, Daniel 11, when it's dealing with the character, the characteristics of the conduct of the Antichrist, he will not have to buy power. He will not have to use power to take control of the globe. The scripture says that power will be given to him. Jeff, you're on the line. What is your question? Hello, Jeff. Jeff, are you there? All right, we lost Jeff, I reckon. Jeff, if you're there, call back. Be delighted to answer your question and talk with you. We're talking about the 21 judgments in the book of the Revelation, and that fourth seal horse, when the seal is open and that horse comes out, it indicates death. Keep in mind, it is progressive. The devastation increases throughout the days of the tribulation. When the fifth horse comes forth, when the fifth seal is opened, according to Revelation chapter 6, verse 9, 10, 11, "And when they had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." When the fifth seal is open, it pictures the saints in heaven. These saints in heaven have been slain for the word of God and for the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is what you would call the martyrs, the saints that have been martyred. Listen very carefully. During the days of the tribulation, according to the scripture in Revelation chapter 13, there's 18 verses in that chapter, by the way. The first four or five verses you find where the Antichrist is mortally wounded. The false prophet, empowered by Satan himself, will raise him from the dead. The whole world will look at him and wow and want to follow the Antichrist. Verse 8 of chapter 13 of Revelation says, "But those that are sealed from before the foundation of the world, those that have not said yes to the Antichrist, those that have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, will not be able to follow the Antichrist." But may I remind you, according to the scripture, the Antichrist will have power that's granted him by Satan and all the princes, the prime ministers, and the potentates and the presidents on a global basis will have surrendered their power to the Antichrist. That will be global world order, if you will. We've had several presidents of the past that have striven for a global world order. That ultimate global world order will take place, and it shall be after we have been lifted out in the rapture of the church. It shall be during the days of the tribulation. May I remind us, in the text that is before us, we look at the fifth seal. It's the seal of distress. It is the seal of distress. May I remind us, these that are saying, how long, O Lord, they are under the altar. They are the martyrs that have been martyred for their faith. And during the days of the tribulation, if any person says yes to Jesus Christ, he will be martyred for his faith. His life will be taken. He will not be allowed to buy, sell, or trade, the scripture says. He will travel as a vagabond on the streets until he dies. They're in the very presence of the Lord. They're under the throne of God, according to this text, indicating their protection in the presence. They're in heaven. They're asking the question, how long, O Lord, until you avenge our blood? How long will you let the Antichrist keep committing this evil? How long will it be before you do something to destroy them? How long will it be, if you put it in the Youngblood vernacular, how long will it be before you get even with them? Then God tells them, just wait for a little while. Just wait a little longer. There are others that must be martyred for their faith, and then I'll do something, is what God is saying. There are others that have to go through the same thing that you've gone through, God is saying. And he says, after that, then I'll respond. You see, the fifth seal, we're talking about Revelation chapter 6. We're dealing with the seven seals, six of which is found in Revelation, the sixth chapter. In Revelation 8:1, you find the seventh seal. The fifth seal is that of distress and persecution and martyrdom. These saints are slain for the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you a question. If you're listening to this broadcast today and you say that you're saved, are you willing to witness for Jesus Christ and stand on the word of God, regardless of what the world says, regardless of what the world does? Listen, I made a decision a long, long time ago. It doesn't bother me if somebody says, I don't like you, I don't like what you're saying, I don't like your stand, I don't like your position. That is wonderful and well if that's their position. Everybody is not going to love me because of my position on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Jesus said, ladies and gentlemen, listen, Jesus said, if the world hates you, remember it hated me first. Listen very carefully. If you live in a society today and you walk in a circle today where you take a stand for Jesus Christ, you're a witness for Jesus, you're passing out gospel tracts, you're sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're studying the word, you're learning the word, you're proclaiming the word, you're imparting the word of God to others, there are going to be those that hate you and will absolutely despise you. But listen up very carefully. Look up, lift up your head, for our redemption draweth nigh. When we see these things taking place, and understand that one day, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to validate our position and our stand on him when we're standing before him. Revelation 4 and 5 singing that song, Worthy is the Lamb. The sixth seal is open, and it's a seal of disturbances. We see the sixth seal open, and we find in the Scripture, in that sixth seal being open, it is very, very clear that the Scripture tells us, it's found in verses 12 through 17. It's an elongated text. I'll just read a portion. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth and of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars had fallen that fell under the earth, even as a fig tree casteth their untimely figs when it is shaken of a mighty wind. Listen, there's coming a day when it will be as though the God has turned the lights of heaven out. The sun does not shine. The blood turns to moon. By the way, this is the authentic place where you find blood moons, not as we've heard in recent years where the four blood moons philosophy and the myth had gone out. In fact, I did a hour and a half presentation from the pulpit about the myth of the four blood moons. Several were standing on that position, multiplied millions of Christians bought the garbage that was the blood moons philosophy and ideology that did not fit in the chronology of the Scripture. But here in the text, after the church is raptured out, during the days of the tribulation, the blood shall turn to moon, the earth shall quake. In fact, the Scripture tells us in Isaiah text, every mountain shall be brought low and the valleys shall be filled. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, there are those that challenge and ask the question in the Revelation 6 text, the men, great men, the wise men, all screaming and crying, who's going to cover us? Who can hide us? Who will be able to stand? The answer is nobody. Multitude and major convulsions will take place on this on earth. God is shaking the world, saying, I'm in control. I'm on the throne. May I encourage you to read your word, study the Scripture, pray, and if you've not said yes to Jesus Christ, do that today. Thank you so much for listening. Tune in again tomorrow, the same time, as we look at what the Scripture says from a biblical worldview as we face the issues.
Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality? Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.